You may be seated. I'd like to invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin where you will find the lectionary reading for today as our lectionary continues to take us on Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and all the events that occur along the way. I've only preached this passage one other time. I think it was about 10, 12 years ago, so some in this congregation actually heard this. And the one thing I know for sure about this story is that for some reason, this story makes good people angry. It makes good people angry because it's a common experience that good people share. Good people that are working hard at serving. Most of us know of times when we've been left with the slack, when we've been given something to do and others are supposed to follow through and they fail to follow through, and so we're left there holding all the work and having to do it all, feeling left alone to do everything while it appears that others are doing nothing. Mary feels that way. She feels isolated, abandoned, all by myself, she says to Jesus, with work that she feels is supposed to be shared. And the reason this story makes so many people angry is Jesus, when he hears the complaint, seems to side with the slacker. He seems to side with the person who's not doing anything, not sharing the load of the work, and that makes good people angry. So what's this story about? It's certainly not about belittling the contributions of service. That's not at all. We're called to serve. We're called to be active in our lives. So there must be something more going on in this story. It is not in any way undermining service. And so we have a situation. A situation before us is Martha is showing great hospitality. If you pay attention to the text, in verse 38, a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. That's hospitality. She sees the traveling preacher goes by. She welcomes him warmly. She's the hospitable one at first, but her worries and distractions get the best of her. We also see another woman. It's Martha's sister Mary, and she's sitting, focused on listening to Jesus. But what's really important, and sometimes we don't get this subtle nuance, verse 39, Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet. That is a technical term. That is the posture of a student to a rabbi. This is what you do if you seek to be the student of a rabbi in order to study to be a rabbi yourself. And Jesus accepts her sitting at his feet, which goes against all the cultural mores and conventions of his day. This is really a liberating moment for Mary because Jesus is breaking down all kinds of social conventions, specifically cultural sexual roles. He's not only alone with women who are not his relatives in their house, which is very unusual and frowned upon in that society, but he's teaching a woman to be a rabbi. A role that conventionally, in his day, was exclusively only for males. So there's some liberating moment going on here. Martha's not seeing it, and that's why Martha is so bothered, so worried. There are three words that are used to speak of Martha's internal emotional agitation. She is worried, she's distracted, she's troubled. Which is to say she's overwhelmed. She's overwhelmed because to her, Mary's not doing her part. There's work to be done, work traditionally assigned to women. And Mary's not doing the woman's part. She's sitting there at the feet of Jesus, studying to be a rabbi. She's supposed to be doing what women do, and that's women's work. She's supposed to be in the kitchen, getting things done, assuming her domestic responsibilities. So Martha's agitated by this, and she's further agitated that Jesus seems to be supporting Mary's apparent rebellion. That's what's behind that saying in verse 40. You can hear the agitation in her voice. Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. By myself. Do you hear that? And can you sympathize with that? Because she feels isolated. She feels abandoned. She has resentment. And she wants Jesus to intervene. Tell her to help me. In modern terms, she's triangulating Jesus. She is trying to take her emotions and not be responsible for them herself, but to get Jesus to fix the situation between Mary and Martha on her terms. She doesn't want to approach Mary directly. She wants to triangle Jesus into the situation and make him bear the weight of her distress and her anxiety and her frustration. Because in Martha's world, she's not the problem. It's Mary's fault. And it's Jesus' fault for supporting Mary. Mary's left me alone to do all the work. She's selfish, she's lazy. That's why I'm so distressed. And Jesus, I'm really troubled at you for allowing it, because you should be telling her to help me. If you cared for me, you'd be on my side. Now here's where good people get troubled. Because Jesus isn't eager to help Martha. He's not eager to take her side and tell Mary what to do, which is to say, Jesus doesn't share Martha's anxiety. Martha may feel wronged, but to Jesus, she's the one that has to own her feelings. She's wrong herself. And that's what brings this gentle, tender, and yet firm rebuke. You see the tenderness and the concern in Martha. Martha. He's speaking to her warmly and speaking to her directly. And he says in verse 41, "You are worried and distracted by many things." It's almost as if Jesus says to her, "You know, Martha, why'd you invite me in here in the first place? I understand you invited me to show me hospitality, but did you invite me so that I could just sit here and watch you occupied with chores, ignoring me? Did you invite me in and your emotions now are taking you away from the very reason you called me to share house and home and dinner table with you? Are you so occupied with all you're doing, you're forgetting the very reason that hospitality exists in the first place?" In many ways, Martha at this point is like a host that's so anxious about serving her guests that she has no time to spend with them. So anxious about fussing over the perfect table setting and setting the most delicious meal and adjusting every little detail so it's just so, until finally there's no time and no energy left for the visit. That's why Jesus calls her to a different way. In verse 42, he says, "There's need of one thing. Mary's chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Now it seems to me that Jesus is essentially saying, you know, Mary understands what this hospitality thing is, because hospitality is giving your guest what they want. And Martha, what I want is not you distracted and anxious and frustrated with all your chores. I want to be face to face with you. I want to be able to speak to you. I want to connect with you. And I can't connect with you if you're rushing about doing all your different chores. I'm here to connect. And at the end of the day, the one thing the hospitality is supposed to be about is that you're connecting with the person in front of you. And if that's true, the person really showing hospitality in this story is not Martha, who initially invited Jesus in. It is Mary, who is sitting and listening to Jesus. Martha, on the other hand, is distracted and fails to really connect with him. In some strange way in this story, Mary has become the picture of hospitality, focusing on her guest, giving him her full attention, what he really wants, this connection. And Martha's forgotten the reason why she serves in the first place. The reason why she's made all these details and carefully prepared everything, that it's all meant to lead to true hospitality, to a true connection, to a true visit. Now, if that was all that's wrong with Martha, that she's got her priorities wrong, I don't think this story would be here. Because I don't think this is just simply about someone's feelings getting the best of them. I think the real issue that Jesus has with Martha is she's trying to draw Mary away from sitting at Jesus' feet. She's allowing her emotions, her experience, to undermine and to distress everyone else. She wants everyone else to be just as anxious and distressed and obsessed as she is. And so she's saying, "Hey, Mary, she shouldn't be sitting at your feet. She should be helping me." And by doing that, she is perpetuating the patriarchal norms of her society. She is essentially continuing that idea that was pervasive in Jesus' culture that women are second-class citizens. They're the ones that are supposed to be doing all the serving. It's the guys that sit around at the feet of the rabbi. The women should be occupying the kitchen. She is perpetuating that, and Jesus won't allow that. You see, in that culture, men were the landowners. Men were the one counted in census. Women weren't counted in any census. Women didn't count literally or figuratively. And yet Jesus is defending Mary's right to break all the cultural expectations and to sit at his feet in a place normally reserved exclusively for males and to be Jesus' disciple, to be his student, to train to be a rabbi. Martha's trying to get Jesus to reinforce her cultural understanding of women's roles, but Jesus refuses to do it while still affirming Martha warmly. Which is to say, in Jesus' view, nothing, not a sister, not cultural expectations, not woman's duties, or anything else should be used to draw away a disciple from Jesus, even if that disciple's an unconventional one like Mary. Now that's our story, and I want to tweak this out just a bit, because this again is a story that shouldn't be hated by those who serve. Because Jesus isn't attacking service. He's attacking anxieties, distractions, frustrations, attempts to remove others from Jesus' feet, attempts to try to perpetuate your emotions by making them catch to others. But he's not attacking service. This isn't a story that's trying to contrast being from doing. You'll hear that from some mystics every once in a while. I am a wannabe mystic, so I love mystics. But the fact is, I don't think that story here is about, you know, Mary is being, but Martha is doing. And being so much better than doing. I don't think that's the contrast. I think the contrast is being consumed by anxiety and knowing peace. It's between anxious, frustrated, obsessive behavior that someone wants to pass on to others and sitting peacefully at the feet of Jesus, seeking only to connect with him. It's about who's listening to Jesus and who's not. It's about who's showing hospitality to Jesus and who's not. And in Jesus' terms, the dishes can wait. The reason why I don't see it as the contrast between being and doing is the scriptures are clear. There's a time and a place for everything. There's a time for hearing. There's a time for doing. In this story, it's a time for hearing. It's a time for connecting. It's a time to visit, to listen, to learn, to love, not serve. There'll be other times to be occupied in service, but that's not the case in this particular episode. At this point in time, Jesus is making it clear there's one thing that's necessary. It's the better part. It's not the only part. Service will come later, but it is the better part, which is to say that we're called to be contemplatives, but to be active contemplatives, or to be contemplative actors, but we should never take out the contemplative part. We could have a world full of activists. You pick the issue. I don't care what the issue is. Pick your favorite social issue. We could have a world full of activists, but if we do not remain Jesus-focused, we're misguided. For that's the better thing. That's the reason for it all, that we would do what we do so that people could have the freedom to connect to Jesus, so they'd have a reason to connect to Jesus, so that they'd have that ability to know the better part, the part that all of that activity is meant to lead to. So this isn't a diatribe against service. This is actually Jesus addressing the bothered, the worriedness, the distress, the anxiety. And this, I believe, dear friends, is why so many good people are so quick to defend Martha. Because there's a little Martha in us all. A little Martha in all of us doing our best, but sometimes in misguided and obsessive ways that demands that everyone share our anxiety. That everyone share our frustration. That everyone get on board with our emotional distress and move in our direction instead of trying to understand what's the right time? Where are people at right now? They're not me. I'm not them. You know that you've come to that obsessive point of frustration and bother in your service when in your service, you resent others for not serving. You know, you've come to that point when in your service you become unkind to those who don't share your obsession with a certain detail or a certain focus. When you're trying to pull people away from their peace so that they'd share your anxiety. When you forget the reason you serve in the first place, so that you might know the presence and the peace and the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nobody knows better than pastors and people who work in professional paid Christian ministry, staff and other folk, how good things like our own service don't necessarily lead to sitting peacefully in the presence of Christ. You can be frenetically engaged in activity and be even preaching the peace of Christ to others and yet not live it. Being caught up in your own sense of self-importance and your own service and being so occupied with all the details of that service that you actually fail to connect to Jesus even though you're preaching about connecting to Jesus. Believe me, I've done that more than dozens of times in my lives. Dozens is probably short-selling it. It's easy to be worried and distracted by so many things that many clergy, many staff, we tend to lose our spirituality. We lose the joy of our salvation. In our consistory, we're reading a book called Ministry Mantras, and the author of that book puts it well. He's a pastor. He says, "Hey, guys, if I committed adultery, my congregation would fire me. But if I break Sabbath, they applaud me. If I keep from resting, they're fine because work's getting done. Things are happening." And, you know, Sabbath command is right there beside the adultery command. They're side by side. They're both important issues. And so the issue is how we can be turned from what we know is the better part by the good parts. Overly worried, overly bothered by those. Which then leads to the point, I think, in this passage. There are times to listen, there are times to serve. This is a time to listen. When we gather together as a congregation, and we gather together so we can be strengthened and renewed to go into our world to serve, to be active, it's the time to seek God, to seek God's voice, to seek to listen to what God has to say, to recognize that we need to know our Lord, we need to connect with Jesus, we need to hear His teaching, we need to hear His promises, know of His love for us. And yet, isn't it true? Even in situations like this, when it's the right time to listen, distractions, even good ones, can deafen us to what we really need to hear. To make matters worse, we live in a distracted society. You know that. We live in an anxious, obsessive, distracted society where we never really are with the one we're with. Instead, our faces are down in a screen, scattered over the ether. Our attention is, you know, multitasked all over many various places. Maybe you've checked out right now. Maybe in your head is the grocery list for today. Maybe in your head is the lunch you're going to have or the activities you're going to have. And when you realize that, you begin to see what Jesus is getting at. We can sometimes miss the better part because of some good things. Too often, like Martha, we invite Jesus in and then we don't listen because our minds are occupied elsewhere. It seems the hospitality Jesus wants in this story at this time is listening ears, open hearts, attentive minds. As we draw to a close, here's a quote by Mary Miller Brueggemann. This is Walter Brueggemann's wife. She has a wonderful statement when she says, "In many ways, the church has adopted the norm of a culture that values productivity and busyness over reflection and listening. There are times in our own personal lives and in the church's life when we need to rebalance. In this text, Jesus says that learning and listening are as important as all the chores we do to make the home and the church a working unit. Even more, they're the point. The point of all our service, the point of all of our activities is to get people to the better part. And that's sitting at the feet of Jesus, really connecting. And because of that, it's okay to Sabbath. It's okay to take some time and put aside the other duties and responsibilities to waste time with Jesus, to prioritize or reprioritize our relationship. You know why? It's the best part of the day. It's the best part. And it's okay. The dishes can wait. Would you pray with me?